Chapter 13, The Great Crisis. One day, 4 years after Sennacherib had ascended the throne of his father, a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem saw a man running at the top of his speed. When he reached the city breathless, he could only gasp out tidings that the Assyrian king with a vast army had appeared in the north and had laid siege to the city of Sidon. This was a city of Phoenicia, one of the allies. It had been planned that the four allied nations should take the field together and resist the advance of the enemy. But Jerusalem learned that the enemy had arrived and that the Egyptians, in whom they had trusted, were not ready to help. Soon came worse news. Sidon was captured and treated with all the barbarity of those cruel days. Sennacherib was marching southward. Judah lay unprotected before him. Fear paralyzed Hezekiah and his people. What was to be done? Isaiah might have come forward with the claim that everything had happened exactly as he had foreseen, but he was too great a patriot to indulge in such petty triumph. He felt deeply the trouble of his unhappy nation. He knew there must come a terrible punishment upon him, but he was sure Jehovah would not suffer them to be crushed. And his soul burned with indignation against the ruthless Assyrian. With these feelings, Isaiah was inspired to deliver the most eloquent of his orations. It is one of the masterpieces of the world's oratory. It may be called the Oration Against the Assyrian. Before a great assemblage of the people who wondered what the prophet would have to say in such a crisis, Isaiah lifted up his voice. He began by declaring that the proud enemy had forgotten that he was but the instrument of God. "Ho, Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in whose hand is mine indignation. I sent him against a profane nation to take the spoil and to take the prey. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. For he hath said, By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and like a valiant man I have brought down them that sit on thrones. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the peoples, and as one gathereth eggs that are forsaken, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or that opened the mouth, or chirped. The proud Assyrian thought himself the mightiest of the earth, and forgot that Jehovah was using him for a purpose. So the prophet, with a fine scorn, likened him to a boasting tool. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that wieldeth it? Then he turned to his own people. He was obliged to tell them that the punishment of their folly would be terrible. Only a small number of the nation would escape. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. But after the trouble he was sure of blessing, and he added, Therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian, though he smite thee with the rod and lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished, and mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. At this point some men in the audience sneered at the idea of a divine help. It was evident that they thought it was easy for Isaiah to talk, but meantime Sennacherib was marching upon the city. The prophet changed his tone. He said, I know Sennacherib is advancing upon us. I see him coming down through the midst of the land. I see the cities falling before him. I see him threatening the capital itself. And then I see him utterly destroyed. Behold, the Lord Jehovah of hosts will lop the boughs with terror, and the high of stature shall be hewn down, and the lofty shall be brought low. And he will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. So the orator sketched the course of events, the devastation of Judah, only a remnant of the people saved, and then the complete destruction of the enemy. What should follow? Isaiah, at this point, struck his noblest note and expressed that deep faith that was his supreme hope for the future, the coming of the righteous king. As of old, David, the good king, came out of the family of Jesse, so again and better. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah, and his delight shall be in the fear of Jehovah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. When the good king should rule over the people righteously, Isaiah was sure that the horrors of war would be over. So he pictured for the troubled people before him the blessed days of peace. With wonderful poetic beauty he drew the picture. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. With these glowing words, Isaiah sought to encourage his people as the Assyrian was advancing upon their land. Sennacherib came on with all the resistless force of the terrible lion nation. Philistia, the next of the allies, and a contingent of Egyptian troops were defeated. Then Judah was ravaged. City after city was captured, the wealth looted, the people tortured, killed, or sent as slaves to Nineveh. At last, in despair, in order to save his capital, Hezekiah begged for peace and offered to pay any tribute that Sennacherib might demand. The amount was set, the tribute was paid, and then with shameful breach of faith, the surrender was demanded. Fear and rage mingled in the hearts of the unhappy people, but they were powerless. It was time for the one brave, strong man in Jerusalem to speak. Isaiah appeared with another burning oration. Again he flung out his challenge to the foe. Woe to thee that destroyest, and thou wast not destroyed, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou hast ceased to destroy, thou shalt be destroyed, and when thou hast made an end of dealing treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Then in sympathy he described the sad condition of the land. Behold, their valiant ones cry without. The ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. The enemy hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth not men. The land mourneth and languisheth. It was time for a divine assistance. Now will I arise, said Jehovah. Now will I lift up myself. Now will I be exalted. The prophet reminded the people that it was a time when an evil man might well be afraid, but the righteous should surely be safe. It shows his splendid confidence in the power of goodness, as he says, Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling hath seized the godless one. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. His bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Then the prophet turned with calm word of promise to the people. They saw their king in sackcloth and the land invaded. He promised, "Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar." They were in the midst of terror, but it should pass away and become a memory. Thy heart shall muse on the terror. Where is he that counted? Where is he that weighed the tribute? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see the fierce people, a people of a deep speech that thou canst not comprehend, of a strange tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tent that shall not be removed, the stakes whereof shall never be plucked up, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there Jehovah will be with us in majesty, a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For Jehovah is our judge. Jehovah is our lawgiver. Jehovah is our king. He will save us. Isaiah knows that the ship of state is in great trouble, but he is sure of safety. He looks forward to a great forgiveness and triumph. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not strengthen the foot of their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then was the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame took the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, "I am sick." The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. It was a message of wonderful comfort, but Sennacherib was sending messages of terrible threatening. Hezekiah turned in great trouble to the Lord and to the man whose advice he had neglected. Isaiah sent him word that Jerusalem should be absolutely safe. We marvel at his confidence as he declares that Jerusalem shall laugh at the proud enemy who has blasphemed the God of Israel. Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, "Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whom hast thou defied and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel?" And then in definite terms the prophet assured the king, "Therefore thus saith Jehovah concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come unto this city, nor shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come before it with shield, nor cast up a mound against it. By the way that he came, by the way shall he return, and he shall not come unto this city, saith Jehovah, for I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake." And we know that Sennacherib went home without attacking Jerusalem. Some terrible calamity fell upon his army that justified Isaiah's confidence. Judah came out of the terrible crisis humbled, but penitent and hopeful. Isaiah lived some years after this great event and saw something of a revival of religion and righteousness in Judah. Hezekiah was a good man and profited by Isaiah's counsel, but the evils of Judah were not overcome. The revival was not far-reaching. The people soon forgot the lessons of the great deliverance, and Isaiah died without seeing the reign of righteousness and peace for which he had hoped. His disciples gathered up his sermons and orations and preserved them as a precious heritage, and through the dark years that followed, they cherished the hope of the coming day and the coming Prince of Peace.